So I would encourage you, as we're reading through the book of Revelation, we're preaching through the heavens. We're not going to cover every chapter because a lot of the things that are taking place in Revelation, some of it has to deal with what's going on earth and what's going to be taking place on earth. Some of it is what's taking place in heaven. We're going to be primarily focusing on what's taking place in heaven. But I would encourage you, if you've never read through the book of Revelation, begin reading through it. And I would encourage you to read it out loud because there's a blessing that is spoken in Revelation chapter 1. It talks about anyone who reads this and hears it and puts it into practice, there's a blessing that comes upon you. So all of us like blessings. Amen. All of us like blessings. When we go to the grocery store, we like to find a parking lot that's real close to the front door. We like to find the things on the shelves that we're looking for. We like blessings. And so, as you read the book of Revelation, the Lord doesn't tell us in what form those blessings come, but he does tell us that there's going to be a blessing for those who hear it, who read it, those who put it into practice. And so I'd encourage you again to start reading the book of Revelation. There are things I've read, I don't know how many times I've read through the book of Revelation, but now that I'm kind of studying and really pinpointing, there are things that are jumping out to me that I've never seen before. And it's exciting to me. Did you know that you can just read things and not think about what you're reading?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can sing songs and not think about what you're singing?
Right.
When you're reading the book of Revelation, just take a chapter and look it over. Read through it. Digest it. Get it in you. Here's what we're moving into. We're moving into the last days, and it's going to be very important that you know what Revelation says, so that when these different things take place, you will know what to do when these things take place and what is occurring. And you, rather than being fearful, you can say, man, that's exciting. I'm living in this time when John prophesied all of these things. And we don't have to live in fear. We can live in excitement because God is going to show up and show us things that no one else has ever seen and always been looking for. So, we're going to, in a few minutes, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And I forgot to hand out those elements. A map? Somebody's already taken care of that. Thank you very much. So anyway, here during my message, we're going to stop after the first section, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And so if you don't have your elements together, you might want to prepare for that now. So if you don't have any, there's some back here in the back area. So we're going to read chapter 5 together. There's a lot in chapter 5. We won't touch on everything, but hopefully we will get the gist of what chapter 5 is talking about. And however, we will come back and hit on some of these other things that's spoken of in later chapters as well. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. It says, then I saw a scroll, and in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne, there was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll. It was sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel. So evidently there's strong angels and not some that are not so strong. It said, I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it? No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. John says, I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings. And among the 24 elders, he had seven horns, seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words: "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, people, and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne, and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. They sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living beings said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come before you today, and I just ask, Lord, for the blessing that you have pronounced upon us, the reading of your word, hearing your word, and obeying your word. And Lord, I pray that you would give us insight, that you would help us to understand the things that we read, that, Lord, you would be glorified today. There's so much here. I pray that you would drop these things in our heart. And Lord, that it would not be just a mental ascent of who you are. But Lord, we would glorify you from our innermost being. Lord, you know the special needs of each one here today. And I pray, Lord, that your grace and your mercy and your provision be upon them. You said that you would meet all our needs according to your riches and glory. So, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So, last week, as we were looking at chapter 4, all the eyes and attention were given to the throne and to the one who was sitting on the throne. This week, we discover there was someone or something in the midst of the throne that was kind of odd, I would think. John, seeing all the splendor, seeing all the glory, seeing all the magnificence of the throne of heaven, and in the midst of that, there was a lamb that was slaughtered. In the middle of all of that, all of the celebration, there was a lamb that was slaughtered. Someone had killed a lamb, slaughtered it, and placed it in the midst of the 24 elders, in the midst of the four living beings, in the midst of the throne. And as he looked, the slaughtered lamb stood up. When he stood up, he reached over. He took the scroll from the Father, because no one had been able to open the scroll. The scroll was sealed with seven seals. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. the scroll was sealed with seven seals. John said no one in heaven nor on earth was able to open the scroll. Nobody was worthy, and so he began weeping, and he began weeping bitterly. And one of the strong angels told him, stop weeping. There's someone who's able to open the scroll. And it's the Lion, the tribe of Judah. As we read through the book of Revelation, you're going to find Jesus portrayed in a lot of different forms. One form is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Another one is a judge. In Revelation chapter 1, we see him as King of Kings, and a mighty ruler. He says, when I turned to see who was speaking to me, this is John again, when Jesus first made his appearance to him, I saw seven golden lampstands. Standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flaming fire, flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. So, when you get to heaven, what form do you think you're going to see Jesus? Okay. All right. Resurrected body. Are you going, you may see him as a ferocious lion. You may see him as a slaughtered lamb. You may see him as the judge and ruler of the universe. And I don't know, you know how you, when you've got different responsibilities, you put on a different hat. Mm-hmm. But I'm putting on my daddy hat now. My daughter, she works at the city of Madras. And there was a report given that someone had seen someone sitting in a restaurant of a person who is her friend. So they told my daughter, who works at the city of Madras, it's your responsibility to call this person and tell them that's been a report made, someone is sitting in their restaurant. She said, okay, I'll give a call. She made a phone call and said, Miss, whatever her name is, we'll just say Renee. Miss Renee, somebody reported that someone is sitting, she said, Miss Renee, this is Crystal. Well, hello, Crystal, how are you? Doing fine, but I want you to know that I've got my city hat on today. And I am speaking for the city today. And so I need you to understand that I'm calling regarding city and the ordinances. Okay, Crystal, what can I do for you? She said, there's been a report about someone sitting in your restaurant. Okay, Crystal, thank you for letting me know. What do I do about that? I don't know. Miss Renee, I've just been told to call you. Okay, thank you, Crystal. Sometimes you have to put on different hats. Jesus was putting on, has different responsibilities. And depending upon what responsibility he has will determine which hat he puts on, and maybe even determine which form that he reveals himself. In this case, Jesus, you know, John never does mention that it's Jesus. He never does say, oh, I saw Jesus as a, he never does say that. He said, I saw a lamb. He's taking the scroll from God the Father. And he was the only one who was able to open the seven seals. John the Baptist was preaching, and he was preparing the people for Jesus' coming. And he told his disciples, when he saw Jesus coming for baptism, he told them, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When John saw him, immediately he recognized him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So why does Jesus take on the form of the slaughtered lamb? You see, Jesus was the Passover lamb. If you remember the story of Israel coming out of Egypt, after 9 plagues, God was preparing the children of Israel to leave Egypt, and there was one more plague coming. And he said, the firstborn child of every family is going to die. But, Israel, what I want you to do, I want you to take a lamb of the first year that's unblemished, and I want you to slaughter this lamb, and I want you to take this blood, and I want you to put it over the door entry to your home, on the sides and over it. And when the death angel comes, he will recognize that you have the blood on your home and it will pass over you. That's why they call it the Passover. Because the death angel passed over all of those who had blood of the Lamb put on their doorposts and over the entry of the home. You see, Jesus is our Passover lamb. And everyone who receives Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, his blood is applied to us. And when the death angel comes, then we get a pass. Not because we're so good, but because he is so good. Amen. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. And so the death angel would pass over us, and we do not have to experience the second death. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's no wonder that Jesus was called the Lamb of God. And it's no wonder that he was presented in the form of a slaughtered lamb in the throne room. I think this is a good place to take our Lord's Supper. So if it was on Passover that Jesus was crucified. That was no accident. That was a design from Almighty God that Jesus would become the Passover lamb for you and for me. And Jesus, when he met with his disciples during Passover, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take it. Eat it. There's another passage that says, by his stripes, we are healed. So, Lord, as we come before you, I just want to thank you. Lord, you blessed the bread, and we want to bless it as well. Lord, I pray your blessings, your greatest blessings, upon the bread that we're about to eat, which symbolizes your body. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings that come from partaking of your body. Lord, I pray as we partake of this, that you, that what you have spoken, by your stripes we are healed, your healing would take place. Physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Then he took the blood. He said, this is the covenant of the New Testament. This is a new covenant I'm making with you. And as often as you eat this body and drink this blood, remember me till I come again. It's the blood of Jesus that takes away our sin. And so, Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed. Thank you for the sacrifice you made. Lord Jesus, as the slaughtered lamb, for our redemption, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. So in this passage of Scripture, as well as in chapter 4, there were 24 elders that are mentioned. Different commentators, theologians, depict them as being different things, and who trying to recognize who they were. Some say they were the 12 apostles and the 12 fathers of the Israelite nation. Some say that they are angels. Some say that they are priests. There's a lot of different explanations for who they are, and I don't really care. I don't really want to get into who they are more than I want to get to what their function is. Okay? Because I think their function is very important for each of us. Number one, there were 24 of them. 24 elders. Their function is to serve as priests. That's what their function is. And we see that by the clothes they wear. We see that by the things that they do, the things they carry, their responsibilities in the throne room of God. During the time of David, if you look, and we're not going to take time to go there, but if you were to look in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, David had set apart 24 families of the Levitical priests to do the work of the ministry in the temple 2 weeks out of the year. So they would work 2 weeks, 24 of these family, one family of these 24 would work for 2 weeks at the temple, 2 weeks on, 48 weeks off, whatever. Another group would come in, another family would come in, work 2 weeks, then they would be off. Now these are large families, not everyone could serve at one time. And so David set apart 24 to take on the responsibilities of the temple. These are the heads of the Levitical priests and their families. Second thing we find is that they had white clothes on. Now these white clothes symbolize purity. This also was the type of clothes that the priests wore. Scripture teaches us that his saints, the believers in Christ, that when we get to heaven, we're going to have on white clothes as well. There's a robe of righteousness that's given to us because of what Christ has done in our lives. The third thing we find is they offered incense before the Lord, just as the Levitical priests did in the Old Testament. So just maybe to remind you, you remember Zechariah, who was John the Baptist's dad? Well, it was his turn in the Levitical lineage to go and do the duties at the temple. But they didn't know what duties they had oftentimes till they got there. And so when they came before the temple and the high priest said, okay, these are your duties. The way they did that was by drawing straws. You ever drew straws? Okay. So the way they did that was through drew straws. The long straw gets this. The short straw gets this. Well, as they were drawing straws, John drew the straw that told him that he was going to offer the incense that day. And Zechariah drew the straw that was going to offer the incense that day. And so he went in before and to prepare the incense and offer it. And while he was in there, he stayed a long time. They couldn't understand why he was staying such a lengthy time until he came out and he shared with them. Well, actually, he couldn't share with them because he couldn't talk. He was mute. And they realized that he had seen an angel. And the angel told him that he was going to have a child and to name that child John. So that was one of the responsibilities that the priest had. I want you to understand and I want you to see this. Go ahead and do the next slide, please. It says that when they took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp. They had golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Now, I want you to understand that your prayers matter. Your prayers matter. Don't ever think that your prayers don't matter. Now, Satan will whisper to you, and he will say that what good is it for you to pray? What good does it do? It has no impact at all. That's a lie. We find here that those prayers ascend up to heaven. They are permeating the whole throne room of God with sweet-smelling savor, the incense. These 24 elders are carrying incense before the throne, and the incense actually is the prayers that you pray. And they're continually before the Father. Continually before the Father. So I want you to keep praising, keep praying, keep listening, and keep obeying. Keep praising, keep praying, keep listening, and keep obeying. Your prayers matter more than you know. The next thing we find is that they played musical instruments. They played musical instruments. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 25, David also set apart 24 Levitical priestly families to present music, worship, and choirs before the Lord. David also ordered the Levite leaders to appoint a choir of Levites who were singers, musicians, to sing joyful songs to the accompaniment of harps, lyres, and cymbals. For the dedication of the walls of Jerusalem, the Levites throughout the land were asked to come to Jerusalem to assist in the ceremony. They were to take part in the joyous occasion with their songs of thanksgiving, with the music of cymbals, harps, lyres. The singers were brought together from the region around Jerusalem and from the villages of the Nephites. So, They were worship leaders. So I want you to understand, when you get to heaven, there's going to be music. When you get to heaven, there's going to be instruments. When you get to heaven, there's going to be worship that's taking place. This passage says, and I want you to listen to verse 11, and I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels. Can you imagine being in that choir? Can you imagine listening to that choir? Thousands of millions of angels. Singing in perfect pitch, perfect harmony, the song of the Lord. These angels were singing. The 24 elders were leading in worship. They're the worship leaders. And the four creatures are also singing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We're going to sing a song called the Revelation Song, which is actually these words penned. Okay? We're going to let our worship team
dear. at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, bread, living water, such a marvelous mystery.
This verse 13 of chapter 5 is it's pretty extraordinary. I'm going to let Josiah have a few minutes to get back over there. He's having to change back and forth. So, verse 13 of Revelation 5 says, "And I heard every creature," say every creature.
Every creature.
"In heaven and on earth,
on earth.
And under the earth,
and under the earth.
And in the sea."
And in the sea.
"Every creature."
Every creature.
"In heaven."
In heaven.
"On earth."
On earth.
"Under the earth."
Under the earth.
"And in the sea."
And in the sea.
"And they sang." Can you imagine? So, we can imagine the angels in heaven singing. We can imagine people who've already gone to be with the Lord singing. We can imagine the 24 elders and the four creatures, seraphim and the cherubim, singing. We can even imagine people on earth singing. But can you imagine every creature on earth? Whether it's horses or sheep, dogs, cats, every creature on earth, and every creature under the earth. Worms, moles, reptiles, and every creature in the sea. Can you imagine? The dolphins, the whales,
the starfish,
fish. Every creature. Every created being sings this song. And it's sung to the Lamb. It's sung to the Lamb. Last week, in chapter 4, there was song sung to the Father. But this song is reserved for the Lamb, for every creature in heaven and on earth. Can you imagine the birds and their songs? We can hear those songs now. Every creature under the earth and in the sea is singing this song, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Let's sing.
On the throne and unto the Lamb, to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb.
Let's do that again, to him.
To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Be blessing and glory and honor and power forever. Be blessing and glory and honor and power forever.
To him who sits.
To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb.
To him who sits.
To him who sits on the throne. Sits on the throne and unto the Lamb.
Be blessing
and glory and honor and power forever. Be blessing and glory and honor and power forever.
Blessing.
Be blessed in glory and honor and power. Be blessed in glory and honor and power.
Be blessed.
Be blessed in glory and honor and power forever.
Can you imagine singing that with every created being? That's going to be incredible. That will be incredible. So, Frances Jane Crosby, or maybe you've heard of Fran Crosby.
Fanny.
Wrote more than 9,000 hymns. Some of which are among the most popular in every Christian denomination. She wrote so many, and many compilers of hymns wanted to put many of hers in. So she wrote under 200 different names. So not everybody would know that it was Fran Crosby who wrote these. The most remarkable thing about Fran Crosby is that she was blind. She had been blind from, I think it was a two-year-old. And even before that, she had caught a disease, and the doctors put a mustard poultice on her eyes. And so from the, she never remembered seeing throughout her life. But she wrote over 9,000 hymns. And somebody spoke with her, to her and said, I think it's a great pity that the master did not give you sight when he showered so many other gifts upon you. Fran Crosby responded at once, as she had heard many comments like this before. You know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind. Because when I get to heaven, the first face I will see, and that will gladden my sight, will be that of my Savior. She also made the statement that if she had not been blind, she would have been probably so involved in things of the world that she would not have been able to write poems, songs that she wrote, and that she was glad that she had been born blind, or that she had to live her life as a blind person. One of the first people we're going to see is Jesus. What a wonderful day that's going to be.
Yeah.
If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to encourage you to trust Him, to put your faith in Him, turn from your sins and turn to Him, because there's a wonderful day awaiting all of His children. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for what's in store for us. Thank you that I'm part of that forever family. And Lord, I just pray your greatest blessings upon each one who's joined us this week as they read the book of Revelation. They put into practice the things that they hear. Lord, that you would open our eyes to see the unseeable. You would open our ears to hear the unhearable. Lord, what a glorious day that will be when we all get to heaven. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good day. So I hope to see many of you next week.
Don't forget to respond where you're coming.
Oh, yeah. Let me know which service you're coming to so that we can get the chairs arranged. All right. God bless you. Love you.